Welcome one and all. Welcome to Heavenly Whispers, food for the soul. Let's see if the man from down under is among us. Sheffy, are you with us?
Woo!
How are you this evening? Or this
awake.
Morning for you, actually.
You know those moments where you go, oops, shit. It's about 1 o'clock last night, and I'm lying in bed, reading, and suddenly I remembered, you've got a show on tomorrow at 7 in the morning, and I kind of like, oh!
Had a Homer moment?
Oh, yeah. But if I'm a little slow, hey, I know, Chippy's a little slow any day, you already get out? So, if I'm a little slow today, don't worry about it. It's self-inflicted.
You know,
but all good.
It's terrible because I don't enjoy BTR at all. I enjoy doing the shows. And there are a few people who I really enjoy listening to. And I love going into the chat room and socializing with the people. But I don't enjoy the electronic BS that goes with going into and dealing with, you know, the crap of trying to get in. And, you know, I feel like I have the saber and I go in with my electric saber and I'm like, din, 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 trying to fight through to get in to try to actually listen to a show. And it's like sometimes I can get into the chat room, but I can't hear a show. And sometimes I can hear a show, but I can't get into the chat room. So I can never get the whole package unless I'm actually doing a show. Then I can, of course, listen to the show and get into the chat room. And even then, it's kind of iffy. So there were a few shows that I really, really wanted to be a part of. And I tell you, I couldn't. And so, like, now I have to go back and actually listen to the shows. But it's like I missed out being part of the chat room because I really couldn't enjoy that because I couldn't hear what was going on. I feel like I was deaf in there. In the chat rooms. So, and I don't know if other people are having that type of problem. I mean, I don't know, Chef, if you go into the rooms and you actually listen to the shows. But I don't know what to do about it. I know on my other computer that I had gotten for Christmas, I can't even go into BTR. My Mac is like, I don't think so. You're not even going into BTR. You know, it's too many viruses and stuff in there. So are you having the same problem as well? Because I know some people have no problem getting sound.
No, absolutely. Some days I can't get into a chat room at all. Other days I'm lucky there to... Most of it really is a chat room. It just sits there and it spins and it spins and it spins. You just get no... I'll refresh. I went to the Curious Time shows a couple of weeks ago, one of the shows, and I spent 20 minutes just trying to get into the chat room to say hi to everybody because I knew who was there, but I couldn't get in. And you can only refresh so many times before you go, you know what, it's just not worth it. And then you just wander off to the next thing. But, yeah, and, you know, we're running we're running Vista on these computers. It's actually the most greatest program in the world. Mind you, they have bought out Windows 10 to make up for Windows 8 and 8.1. Okay. Skipped Windows 9. What does that tell you? Whoa, we're not touching that hot, baby. Let's just push that into the corner somewhere. It's starting to fester.
Well, what's that old adage? 7, 8, 9. So that's why we have 10. So maybe that's what happened to it.
Maybe they should change it from going like, instead of going like, you know, 7, 8. Actually, I've got to admit, Windows 7 is just such, I've got a little, we've got three computers sitting in front of me. Okay, I'm using my wife's because my Asus is running Vista, so which is a lovely dual core and all that sort of stuff. The hard drive is full because there's so many updates from Vista. It's actually filled my hard drive and my computer itself. The memory, everything else on the computer is empty. I have nothing I can except Vista and the stuff for the show. And there's no point me turning it on. It just can't handle it. It takes 20 minutes for the time to fire up. I've got a tiny little Asus netbook that's got Windows 7 on it. And it's an absolute friggin' trooper. I love Windows 7. It's just a wonderful program. You just cruise along. Everything's wonderful. You know, everything's just great. I know people have trouble with 8 and 8.1 because the interface between touch screens and mouse functions and keyboard functions just didn't quite get it right, whereas Windows 10 is supposed to be. But, you know, you think maybe they need to change the names from being, 8.1 to simply Smells, Festers, Stink Bomb. You know, they can just change it up a little bit. And I agree with you when we had that discussion a while ago about, you know, I use Skype to call in. And I didn't realize how bad it was. I listened to one of my shows last week, and every third word, I thought, you poor buggers, you come in to listen to my show, probably a blessing, really, you only hear 1 in 3 of my words, because the rest of it's shit. But at the same time, you listen into the show because you want the content, and Skype and Blog Talk are just fighting themselves all the way.
Well, I mean, you know, it's some of us are blessed because I link to you telepathically, so I get a lot of information. I really don't need the Skype to actually listen to you. But if you're actually trying to communicate with you through Skype, you're kind of going garble, 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 and you're really straining your ears to actually hear you. So
yeah, I can understand that. And I saw that the other day with one of the ladies that come into the show.
Walks with spirits, just destroying
everything.
Walks with spirits because we can only hear the swear words.
Fuck. I'm glad about that, mate. Now, tomorrow is basically our Australia Day. So that's like your 4th of July. So,
oh, awesome.
So like the theme song you played is very apt considering what's going to go on. Now, if you think I swear, the whole country tomorrow, all as one, are basically going to be outside going, fuck, mate, fuck this, fuck that, fuck everything else. I want you to understand, you know, you obviously understand, most Americans understand, well, I'm assuming, most Americans understand our country's roots. Our country's roots come from the colonies. It comes from basically 99.9% of the people that came to Australia originally when we invaded this country and took it away from the Aborigines. Oh, my God, he said that. Were convicts from the lower, very, very low-class side of England. You know, you get sent to Australia because you stole away to feed your family, you naughty person, you go into the fucking colonies. So consequently, we're very rough, and our language or Stuart has improved probably from about 1970 onwards, if I really think about it. The quality of our language has improved, and the style of our language has improved because of multiculturalism and fucking pan-body political correctness. But the average Australian...
So you're the New Yorkers.
Yeah, in a lot of others, yeah, absolutely. Or the Californians, you know. But in reality... The average Australian, so I'm talking about what you would class as what would be a good example? my son just said dickheads. No. the average roots grassroots Australian, they swear a lot. And they'll put, you know, I don't want to use the word on radio, but it's the C word. And
yeah,
we'll put the C word at the end of our sentence. So we'll actually call a stranger, you know, there's an unwritten rule, this is a side bit, there's an unwritten rule in radio and TV that the one thing you don't say at the end of a show, a TV show, is see you next Tuesday, even if your show is on Tuesday, you don't say see you next Tuesday. Think about it, people. So, but right. Here, like, we use that, we'll say Australia, see, or we'll say Annie, see. We're not swearing at you. In actual fact, it's in a lot of ways, unless we're putting it in a swearing context, like you see, you've broken this. In actual fact, it's a compliment.
Right.
I would be going, Annie, I'll be walking up to you and going, Annie, see, how are you, mate? Mm. It's actually meant as an endearing term, strangely enough. So go figure when you... So now this is why sometimes I get caught up. I start doing my readings and the colonial Australian in me will just come out and it'll be swear this, swear that, where I know I shouldn't be doing it, but I'll still do it because it's part of how I do my readings. And I go, you know, too bad, that's what happens. But I'll always try to use that one word.
That's not... endearing at all to us over here. You might get hurt.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely. You would get hurt if you said that
it's
over
like,
here.
It's like the word piss. You get pissed off. We say pissed off, which means we're really angry. You're about 2 seconds from getting thumped. It's like, what's another word? Fanny. You're excited. walk around to the front, right. People, because it ain't backside for us. There was this classic, absolutely classic. This American came down to do a show in Perth, and he was doing really well. And then he made the comment: "It's doing a particular action is more like a one-legged man in a fanny kicking competition." So I want you to think about that, people. He might have been saying kick yourself up the bum, but walk around the front, people.
Oh.
We're not talking about your backside. So none of the crowd laughed because we're kind of saying, how is he going to get his foot up there? And does he really have a mangina? You know, manginas. Yes, okay. This is where, you know, actually, in a lot of ways, this is how we, because of our political correctness, because we've become a lot more cosmopolitan in Australia, you don't realise how you lose the romance of your culture and your language. Even swearing, it doesn't matter. It's the romance, the thing that makes up your language. You know, we'll say things like cheese and kisses, you know, the missus. Or we'll say, all sorts of little colloquialisms that you just miss out on. I dare say as you go down the deep south in America, you'll hear some wonderful, colourful language, not necessarily swearing, but colloquialisms, the little idiosyncrasies that make up individual language. And Australia has very much an incredibly even language. it's a bit hard to distinguish from someone from Western Australia or from the other side of the country, which is like New South Wales or Queensland. There would only be a couple of little words. You're going to go, oh, yeah, you're from Queensland. But in actual fact, it's pretty even all the way across the country. Whereas, you know, you can walk into, you would know who a New Yorker is, who a Californian is. You would know who comes from the Deep South. You would know who comes up from Montana. You know, you've got a lot more variation in your language. And it's actually wonderful because when I talk to people on the show, I enjoy the variation in language that comes over.
Definitely. It's nice to be able to hear the different dialects and the different, not so much the different cultures, but you can tell what state people are from. Not so much what cultures people are from, but what state they're from. Just kind of listening to their voice. And how, you know, not even with your intuitive side, but just listening to their voice from where they're from. So that's actually pretty cool. I got something, a question I want to put to you.
Yeah, go for it.
That I actually learned, which was an aha moment for me yesterday. And I didn't really realize this 100% until I actually realized it. And I don't know how to say it other than saying it like that.
Say it.
Okay. because I really experienced it. I actually put it into effect more so because it was so... The information I got was so clear that I was really pleasantly surprised. And so I'm gonna put it to you, and I want to get your input on it. It worked for me, and I want to see if it resonates with you, and maybe it'll resonate with other people and actually help other people out there as well. I'm not big on mediumship, but, you know, I am a medium. Because I don't like talking to dead people. They're cold, you know, and they bring in the cold when I talk to them. You know, there's no way of heating them up. They're not warm. Yeah, that's just the way it is.
Does anybody know what a Bunsen burner is before I crack this joke? Bring out the Bunsen burner. What's the matter, bitch? Your toes getting hot?
it's just you know, they just I don't know, they're just cold. It's, you know, they just bring it in with them. I mean, why they can't bring in warmth when they come in, I don't know, but they are cold. Anyway, so when people do mediumship, when you are bringing in that energy or about to do mediumship, a lot of people often are concentrating on their loved ones, and they always bring in that thought process of that loved one. Usually they think about when that loved one has passed away. They focus on that. And that's what we want them to do. But what they don't do is focus on the beauty of that relationship, the entire beauty of the relationship. They really just focus on the grief of their passing, even though they don't know it. Yes, I know that they love the person that passed, but they're still in that grief stage. because they miss them. So that is a very big focal point in their channeling that energy. And I never really thought about that until I thought about that. So I never really thought about the love that went behind it. So I was, because I'm very telepathic. So I was studying James Van Praagh, who I adore. And one of the things that he said was, you really have to focus on that energy of love and nothing more, because that fine tunes your mediumship ability to your radio wave of what you are. And I thought about that and I said, And so I used that on a person that I had a really hard time connecting with. And I connected with that vibration so clearly that I had gotten information that I'd never thought I would get. And it just blew my mind. So for you, your question is, do you feel that is true? And if so, have you used it before, or would you recommend it to other people?
Now, that is a fascinating question. Now, I actually don't we'll call this the sadness of love to bring somebody in. But I have to say, it would be absolutely spot on, because, as everybody knows on the show, I lost my mum and my sister last year within 6 weeks of each other. And I have to tell you that on a personal level, the strongest grief that I've ever experienced would be the love in relation to them passing. So I can understand perfectly how a normal person, that is the most defining moment in your life, when each one of you, either your friends or your family, pass over, because your physical part of you, the three-dimensional part of you, is in so much angst that it will always form a perfect bond to the other side. It's a perfect link. So yeah, James Van Praagh is smack on the money. If you focus on the sadness of love on a person that's passed, you're going to get the perfect link straight away. Myself personally, I've never used it to pull somebody in, but I have once on our show about 2 years ago. I picked a lady, his husband had passed, and it was the perfect link. And all that actually came, it was actually the reverse. The sadness of love came from the spirit side, because the lady had already moved on, and she had accepted. Acceptance is such a wonderful thing. The cornerstone of how you deal with everything in life. Once you accept you get the situation there, or whatever it is that's causing the problem, then it's easy to move on, because you've already closed the door on the situation, and then you can start anew. And she started anew. So as much as she absolutely adored and loved this person, she didn't need to express it anymore, because it would always be there. But for him, it was nearly bowled me out of my chair. It was the biggest wave of love and emotion I had ever experienced, coming from
Pete, take a breath.
Yeah.
Because you're gurgling.
Oh,
and now
okay.
Start again.
Okay.
It was the biggest wave of emotion.
emotion ever at all. And I'm trying to pass it on to this woman, and she just goes, yeah. Yeah, I know.
Aww.
He does. And, you know, that's how it felt. And I'm like, wow, did I miss something here? Do I need to go to her place and check to see whether there's any blood on the chainsaw?
Aww.
It blew me away. But now on a personal level, no, I don't. I just open the door, they come in, and I don't actually have an emotional connection with the people that come in unless they put it out. I just go, yeah, okay, next.
No, well, not you personally. Like I was connecting. For me, it was an emotional connection because I was connecting to someone on the other side. Do you know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
I was the one that was pulling someone through. But if I were, like, say I was reading for someone else and I wanted them to pull someone through, I am, I like to call myself a compassionate, because I'm more than an empath. My sensitivities are extremely heightened. So I'm beyond empathic abilities. So I like to call myself a compassionate, which is like a super empath. So emotions are extremely heightened for me. So when I want to really use those mediumship abilities to fine tune my radio station, I want that person to not go, okay, I want John to come through. I just want them to pull John to come through. Well, there's friggin' 50 billion Johns that have crossed over, you know, that are going to be waiting at the doorway to come beat
you can just imagine
there.
Like looking down the queue up there, and John, and all these hands go, ho!
Right, you know, like in Beetlejuice that have those numbers that go, that's me, you know, come on down. But no, I want that person to use that power of love, bring forth that energy, that vibration, and so that I can pull and get exactly what that person needs and that information that person needs to hear, and be able to be that direct connect for that person. And not only that, but I want to be able to go beyond that, being that direct connect. I want to be able to pull John through, but if John needs to give a message for, you know, Mary, who's on this side, in addition to Betsy, who's pulled, you know, John through, then I want to be able to do that as well and give that message through. So not only are you doing one person, but you're becoming a chain link. You're becoming a web for the other side over here as well. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. This is going to take me a while to get with that image all just lined up going, yay!
Yeah, it's like AT&T, we're here to help you.
Help you.
You know, so it's actually pretty cool.
You see, like me, you know, I'll never be the world's greatest medium. I jokingly call myself, because I've seen some wonderful mediums, I really have, that have just blown me away. And I come along and go, oh, yeah, well, I see that person over there and it's yada, 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 yada. And I always think, well, I really don't give a lot of information about that. It's kind of like, you know, it's a very Australian casual way of doing mediumship. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, come on in. Pretty big, mate, would you? So, as much as I love, I love mediumship. I love just on a physical level, a three-dimensional level, I've always been a loner. I've never been one that really holds a lot of friends. I'm quite happy to be by myself and just get on with things. So, but, and I understood, you know, it never made much sense because I just assumed that, you know, people didn't particularly like me or I just didn't fit in. But then I realized as I got older and I started doing all this that it's because I'm never alone. I'm always surrounded by spirits. So therefore, I never had a want to be surrounded by a lot of physical people. And it took a little while to figure that out. And then, you know, once I was comfortable with that, it made it a lot easier.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you know, I just learned a lot. And then, you know, with I think my brain is going through an upgrade, a serious upgrade. And so I'm grateful for that.
Just don't put Vista in there, okay?
No.
Use iOS 8 or something.
Yeah. I think we're past that. I've actually gotten past that.
Yep.
Go for it.
Well, hang on a minute. Okay. It's a very unusual conversation I'm about to have, so just ignore me for 2 seconds. Okay, yeah, no worries. There are a couple out in the carport, and there's one in where the wreck is. Okay. No worries. Okay. If people are probably wondering what the conversation's about, we let's have a laugh at Chevy's expense, which is always good. Years ago, you know, this would not make any mistake, as I've told everybody before. Sheffy weighs about 310 pounds. He's a big fat pig. So even we went and bought a queen size bed, and we got it in brand spanking new, and we put it in the room and set it all up, and it had a steel frame, steel runners, and wood slats. And I lied on it, and it was fine. My wife lied on it, and it was fine. And that night we went to bed, and we both lied on it, and the bloody thing bent in the middle.
Oh.
Ponk. Just on one side. Anybody want to guess which side? So the next day,
wow,
I went back.
I'm going to say yours.
Can I phone a friend here? Yes, you are right. It was my side. Jeffrey just completely collapsed his side of the bed. So the next morning I went back, handed him the two runners and go, not good enough. They gave me two new runners to put in. So I went, looking at them, and I could see why they bent. The reason why they bent was there was supposed to be a bracket in the middle, a vertical bracket, the floor, which provided a central point of support. It didn't have those. And when I inquired about them, they go, no, they don't come with the bed. Well, being an Australian, I said, fuck you, and went outside and got two car jacks, car stands, I think you call them over there. You don't actually you don't actually jack the car up. These are the things you put under the car once the car is up to keep it safe over while you're working under it.
Right.
So they'll hold about, you know, a ton and a half each. They're not going to bend. So I put a couple of blocks of wood under them, stuck them under the bed, set it all up. They've been there for probably, I don't know, 20 years? Probably not, but a pretty long time. And my son just walked out. He's going to work on my car this morning. My son got an apprenticeship as a motor mechanic. So he's come walking out to me. He's got these two car stands in his hands. He looked at me and he goes, do not sit on the bed, Dad. Do not sit on the bed. And it cracked me up. I go, okay.
So I guess you're not going back to bed, huh?
How about no?
Oh,
And because, you know, and little things you don't realize. Okay, I could have actually simply gone outside, cut a length of steel, welded it onto the frame, vertically onto the frame, problem solved. But I use a car stand because I figure, well, you know, it's strong. It's a lot stronger. There's no much chance of lateral movement and all that. What I didn't think about was there's a little chain and a little bolt, and the bolt goes through the holes in the car stand when you've got the car up. So every time I used to get out of the bed in the morning, the chain would rattle because the bolt moved. It took a while for me to go, what? Did she keep waking up? And then one morning I hear clatter, 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 and I went, oh, no. You learn these things. So now, I want to put a shout out to Christina Nelson, because I was last night, and she was having very much a rough time. And it was dealing with a very simple issue. As you know, Christina has a lovely wife. She's her perfect soulmate. And for Christina to grow up in a physical world as, it's the wrong word I'm going to use, but I'm going to say a normal girl growing up and then discovering that she had affections for ladies instead of men. And with her family and their, I'm gathering, because, you know, I honestly don't know, but this is the impression I got, because me, Christina's just Christina. She's always just, you know, she's big, she's bubbly, she, you know, you can have a lot of fun talking to her, and she wouldn't hurt a fly. She just loves everybody. So it never occurred to me to think about the other side of all this. She obviously had to give up a lot to be with her gorgeous wife. And we're talking about emotionally as well. She had to give up her family who don't support her. They don't support her beliefs. They don't support her sexuality. She gave up all that. And in a lot of ways, I want you to think about these people as having a huge... Like for me, losing my sister and my mum in 6 weeks, suddenly you have this tremendous loss in your family, because your grassroots, the thing that keeps you grounded and supported, is no longer there. You know, and we're not just talking a couple of people here. We're talking a fair slice. And you, one part of me, the physical side of me goes, was it worth the agony? And the spiritual side of me goes, yes, because... why should you not be able to give everything up for love? Especially when that person is so important to you, they are worth whatever you have to give up. So she had a bad day yesterday, and I just wanted to say, you know, keep your head up, girl, because she was, you know, worth love to lose love.
We'll keep her in our prayers.
All right. Have we got anyone I can torment?
We sure do.
Let's do some tormenting. I feel like destroying some relationships, people. Bring it. Did you use the term bring it? We use it in Australia all the time. Bring it.
Yes, we sure do. We're going to bring it on. We have it looks like Sanji and from PA. Is it Sanji or Sonja? Sanji?
Sonja.
Okay. I think we had you. Were you at the end of the show last week?
I don't think so.
Okay. What can we do for you?
I wanted to ask a question about, I decided I'm going to put my house for sale. And,
okay.
And I'm planning on doing it relatively soon. I just need to do a few sprucing up. And I just got the house, you know, 2 years ago. But, you know, there's a few things going on, and I just decided it's best that I sell it. With that said, I also, I've put in some money into it. I've done a lot of upgrades. And, you know, it's in a very nice neighborhood, and it's well kept. Are you picking up anything about the sale and if I'll make a profit on it?
Yeah, look, the house will sell. I gotta say, you're not gonna make a huge profit on it, but you'll make a reasonable one. Yeah,
okay.
I don't see you standing there completely covered in cash, but it'll be what you want to do. Timeline, a little bit longer than you expect. I think probably 9 to 10 weeks.
Okay.
From the actual sale itself, because I don't know what it's like over there. Over here, it takes 6 weeks after the sale to finalize the deal. So I actually think you're looking at probably halfway through March, at the very end of March at the most, that you'll get some good buys.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're lucky over there. Your financial climate is improving quite reasonably. So, yeah, you'll sell. I have no doubt about that.
Right. No, I wasn't looking to make, like, a huge profit. But at least, you know, I want to pay off the mortgage. And I want to, you know, make back the money I invested. And I'm not looking to make huge amounts of cash. But I also don't want to give away the house for nothing. And then I still have to pay a mortgage. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. No, I think it's right. It'll work out.
Right. Okay. Because I do have another property that, you know, I'm planning on moving back into. I have a tenant there, but the tenant don't have a lease right now. They're just living month to month, and that's fine. They can keep it that way. So my plan is to, you know, once this is sold, I can go back there and live there because it's really within my budget, and it's less problems, too.
Yeah, sounds like a good move.
Yeah. Do you see
it's
going to
be good.
Do you see any issues with the current tenant that I have? I mean, for the time being.
If you give them a reasonable amount of notice to leave, you won't have any problems. Don't just say, I want you out by the weekend. Give them a reasonable amount,
you
won't have any problems.
No, I'll give them at least 30 days. You know, that's what the law says. So.
Yeah, and then you'll be fine. If they know coming up, they'll be fine about it because they can start looking themselves. I can't see a lot of hassles. It all should be reasonably smooth.
Right. You know, the reason I wasn't asking of any problems is because the tenant has a washer and a dryer, and when they rented, they didn't have a washer and dryer, and there is a room in the back that I have accommodated with a heater, and I said, if you want to use it, you need to turn on the heater, otherwise in the cold season, the pipes are going to freeze, and that's exactly what happened, and I had to spend this huge amount of money, and I'm like, you can't keep doing this because I don't have the money to keep fixing this, right? I did this, you know, because then I just wanted to accommodate them and be nice, and then he got all nasty with me over the phone, disrespecting me, and I'm like, I can't have this. So do you see him continuing because I'm not going to take it? And I already sent him a text. I said, you know what, you need to be more respectful. And I'm telling you, if it breaks again, I can't just afford to be fixing it. And that was what we agreed that you were going to leave that on. And I lived there for 10 years, and that never happened. So do you see him chilling a little bit, or do you see him getting really nasty?
I think it'll break one more time. I really do.
Really?
Your problem is that, if I'm not mistaken, under state tenancy laws, the rent, what they call the renter and tenant agreement, you need to be careful because they can take you to court over the fact that you don't repair it. So you need to make sure that you check up first about what their and your rights are before before you get to them breaking it again.
Mm-hmm.
In case they try to take you to court over it. I really don't think they will. I think everything's going to be okay, but, you know, it better be safe than sorry.
Okay.
Okay, that's all I got for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
No worries.
Have a nice night. Alrighty. Well, we don't have anyone else on the line at the moment, but, you know, to call in with something that is that you could really take care of.
Call in
so
I can wreck someone's relationship.
You know, I think that, you know, I don't know. I call in with something that you know, maybe you need validation for, that you're kind of unsure about, but not something that...
Oh, you've always wanted to know you're an ass, and I'll just confirm it for you.
I don't know. Help me out,
people. Do you think anyone's
going
to do that? Hi, I've called in to find out whether I'm an ass. Okay, yeah, well, you just told me. Yes, I know.
I just don't understand
bad Australian
some of
the, humor.
It doesn't make any sense to, I don't know.
Well, look, it's very interesting about what people call in about, isn't it? I mean, if I was down the shows that I've done over the last probably, I don't know, say we just take last year, probably a good 90% of the calls that I get, one, straight away, actually, no, 98% of the calls I get are women. 90% of the calls I get are women wanting me to destroy their relationship. It's waiting for Sheffrey to go, nah, he's fucking awful. Kick him to the curb and off you go. 2% of
well,
the
I think
whole...
A lot of people don't want the responsibility of saying, you know, that they took it upon themselves to kick the guy to the curb. So they want to blame it on you for getting rid of the guy.
Yeah,
well,
I know.
The psychic told me to get rid of him.
I really do find it fascinating. People, you already know your partner's shit. You wait for me to tell you? And you can hear it sometimes. Now, this is no disrespect to anyone that rings in. I appreciate their ringing in because sometimes you just need a third person to validate exactly what you already know, but you're afraid to admit it.
Absolutely, because that's what we're here for. And don't get it twisted, because that's exactly what we're here for. You know, we are of one consciousness. So we are here to just validate each other.
And I love that. But I got to tell you, sometimes I get off from the show, I go out to my wife and go, yep, I destroyed 5 relationships today.
But, you know, it's not that we are the end all, you know. And to be able to reach into someone else's heart and pull out what they don't want to say but need to hear is amazing. And they go, oh, thank God, because I really needed to hear that. And sometimes it just doing that makes that emotion flow.
And Linda's putting
it,
the stuff up in the chat
release.
Room. It's spot on.
Yeah, it's just a release. You know?
And it is, and I understand that they've already made their mind up. They really just want someone to go, look, you know, yes, I can see exactly what you're seeing, and you're right, because it's not about what you want, it's about what you need. But
right.
it still amazes me sometimes. I feel like, yeah, I really should have said that.
But sometimes, you know, when you're calling about, you know, hey, should I, you know, buy this puppy or... you know, dump this puppy. Not so good.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean?
Because when they say that, you're going, you don't want to buy anything because you're an ass.
Right. You know, things that are helping you move forward in life, please don't kill off our brain cells here.
So that's 90% of my calls. 2% of my calls are males. Males, strangely enough, are a little bit more challenging because, you know, we're analytical in how we do our thought processes in most cases. I'm going to be very generalized here because I always keep saying the same thing. Energy for me is emotional, artistic, spiritual. Male energy for me is very analytical, very practical. Men are very, do things by numbers, this. They don't just go, well, we could do this or we could do that, or maybe we could even go over there. Oh, look, chocolate, you know. So, which means I'm saying that women wander everywhere. I'm saying that there's a lot more complexity to the female energy that I read than the male. Males are very boring in a lot of ways because we just, okay, you put that bolt over there, you know it's going to work. So that would be 2% of the people that I do. And the rest is just weird. And I will say weird. You think about some of the phone calls we've had, and some of them are really bordering on the surreal. You're kind of like, wow, you're a special kind of stupid, aren't you? And there's been a few times I have to tell you people, I wanted to turn to the person that I'm reading, going, wow, you're really that fucking dumb. You're just gonna bite your tongue. Yes, if you put your head in the oven, you're going to get burnt.
Yeah, we've had a few of those too, and then we've had some people that, I mean, I'm just so pleasantly surprised that I'm like, wow, you know, I didn't think that I could learn anything from a caller, and I'm just wow.
And then suddenly you do, isn't it? Yeah. We get a lot out of these shows, don't we, when you think about it? I do. I love doing this, and I love helping people, but I also love what I get back from it. Because, you know, sometimes you get off these, you finish the program, and you're just rocking. You're just kind of like, wow, you know. Yeah, I really got a buzz out of that, especially when the room's rocking. When I get the right person in, and I've just got 20,000 family members in here, and they're driving a bloody dump truck to the middle of my room, or even worse, you know, I just had all my, when we were playing the song Australia, I had all my guides and two of my relatives, and they just got this weird sort of, I don't know what sort of dance you would call it, going on. They're popping and blocking, or whatever they call it, and it looked hilarious. Mm-hmm. I'm trying not to crack up, but then I just gave up, and as the song's playing, I'm dancing in my chair, and they're dancing around. He's going to walk in, he's going to go, he lost it. So I'm going to get him the backward facing jacket. La, la, la. Oh, dear. But, you know, this is what the shows are all about. The strangest things. Because as we all know, like I said, Chevy's a big fat pig. So Chevy's had to do something about what he put back on over Christmas. What can I say? I won't be going down the beach for a while in case Greenpeace starts throwing buckets of water over me again and push me back out of the ocean. So the things in the morning that will help you start your day better, it's not necessarily about losing weight. Let's just start your day better. So straight off the cuff, as you know, I'm always on about water, despite the fact I drink a shitload of Pepsi Max. A half a lemon in a glass of water, a warm water, every day. Just squeeze the lemon in there.
Mm-hmm.
It cleans your palate. The acid in the lemon turns to an alkaline in your system. It helps your system. It helps rebalance things. The amount of vitamins and minerals that are in the lemon juice itself are going to kickstart. Also, lemon allows your brain to fresh itself in a sense. So that's always my first port of call in the morning. And also, I'll drink what's the equivalent? I suppose the equivalent is about a gallon of water a day. What's that, 4 liters? I drink about 2.5 to 4 liters of water a day. So that doesn't mean I'm diabetic, by the way. It just means that I work in an air-conditioned environment. I know when my skin dries out and other things. So you make sure you put a lot of water back in to make up for it. Because you lose about 0.5 to 1 liter of water a day, depending on what the climate's like. So that's the starter. Now for breakfast. Everybody has their breakfast. But I'll give you two things that I always stick by. One, as you get older, and we are all getting older.
Yourself.
Okay, yes. You can cut Sheffy's legs off and count the rings. I am an old bastard. I'm going to be 55 this year. Okay, I can't escape from that. I can remember when I was like 14 and going, wow, in this such and such year, I'll be 40. And going, fuck, that's really old. Now I wish I was 40. But as you get older, there's one thing you must do. And I don't care what dietitian tells you not to, they can fuck off. You must have at least 2 eggs to 4 eggs a week. Just boil them, scramble them, omelette, don't care. The reason for that is your body requires a significant amount of protein as you get older, and it requires a significant amount of as it gets older. So I don't care where they're going to go, oh no, you know, 4 eggs is going to be 1,000 milligrams of cholesterol. I'm going to start leaving a pool of fat on the freaking ground. No, you're not. The reality is your body requires cholesterol for your basic functions. And it needs pure cholesterol. If it doesn't get enough, it makes its own. So a lot of these people, and I'm going to be generalized here because there's bound to be some turd who's got a degree that's going to go, oh, no, they're supposed to be this way or that way. I did a lot of study on cholesterol. And your basic functions require a good quality cholesterol to work. Your body needs it. It'll make its own. So a lot of people who have high cholesterol is because they haven't found the balance of where they are in we'll call it the cholesterol chain, where they are in the chain. Should they only have a certain amount of fats and omega fats and pure cholesterol, or should they have more or should they have less? You find your balance, and you do that with your doctor. You go to your doctor and you have a series of tests in a row. You start with a baseline that's going to say your cholesterol is low. It's like my cholesterol is 4.7. My triglycerides, my good cholesterol, is 2.5. So in actual fact, my cholesterol rating is only 2.2. But you look at me, I'm a big fat pig. The reason for that is is because I know how much fat and cholesterol I can put into my system where it finds its perfect balance. You know, I use olive oil, I use rice bran oil, I use butter, I don't use margarine. So I'm having, and I use cream, you know. So, and here I am, I've got great cholesterol. But the reason is, I know what I can have, and I don't put a lot of stuff in that isn't necessary. I'll use a non-stick pan, which people say you shouldn't do, but I still do. Or I'll use a little bit of water to start something cooking, but I know there's enough fat in the meat to do it. So I'm looking for things, but I still don't take too much fat out of my system. My beautiful mother kept my dad lean and mean. But she kept him too lean, I mean. His cholesterol was 12. It was 12 because she kept him so low in saturated fats and not getting enough fat in his diet that he had to produce it. So you go to your doctor, you have a series of tests in a row, find out what your cholesterol rating needs to be, You can take some things out, see if it changes, whether it goes up or down. Add some, see if it goes up or down. And you'll find what your point is. And that's what you keep happy at. So I always say to people, have 4 eggs a week. And that your brain needs cholesterol for its functions. Your body needs cholesterol for its functions. So 2 eggs a week, 4 eggs if you do. I always do about 4 eggs a week. And you'll find it will not affect your weight. It won't affect your fat, you know, this whole tire fat around your belly. It won't affect that in relation to it. It won't add to it. The other thing is, it's a nice little dish. Get a avocado, take the seed out, cut it in half, take the seed out, drop an egg in it, throw it in the oven, bake it for about 10 minutes. Add a bit of salt and pepper, or whatever you want to put on it. You can put whatever you like on top of it. It's lovely, and it gives you everything. It gives you a lovely balance of good fats and protein. And if you don't want to do the whole egg and the avocado thing in the oven, slice of toast, some avocado on the bottom of it, a couple of poached eggs on top, brilliant. You'll lose a little bit of weight. You'll get some great functions. You'll wake up great in the morning. So next one. For the next. Bloody... Yeah, sorry, Annie, go on.
We've got a few callers waiting for...
Woohoo!
There, Reed.
All right.
But I didn't want to stop you. I was getting like all these good recipes. I'm like,
I'll give you one last recipe, then we'll do the readings.
Okay.
Sorry, as you can tell, I'm starting to dry out again. One last thing for all these bloody vegetarians that go on, oh, you know, they have eggs. Okay, stop your bloody whining, people. You're sick because you're vegetarians. And no matter how much you tell me, oh, you know, you can use broccoli as a high-protein food and you don't have to kill something for it. Well, hang me while I have me my knife and I slash something, mainly you. I don't want to have to eat 6 kilos of broccoli to get the same amount of protein as a steak. No matter what you say, I've researched it. Please research before you open your bloody mouth and tell me, because they don't. I've had many arguing with people because they don't research after this. They don't research first. And then they start spouting shit. So don't. So here's a nice one for the vegetarians. We won't say vegans because you know what I think about vegans. A wonderful thing first thing in the morning. Grated apple. Some cooked porridge. Grated apple and some yogurt. Just mix it together. And the apple will make it sweet enough that you really have to put a tiny bit. And I mean a tiny bit. People come on, don't be stupid about this. Tiny bit of maple syrup or honey. Or you can drop some chia seeds into it, and it gives you your vitamins, your minerals, your protein, a reasonable amount of protein, and some saturated fats, and it's wonderful. You won't put anything on, and you'll feel better, because you'll have enough vitamins to get you about halfway through your day before you start going, ugh. Breakfast, people, if you don't do anything else during the course of the day, bloody will have breakfast, or I will find you, and I will give you a psychic wedgie. Okay. Let's cause some damage.
All righty. Well, we've got Miss Christy.
Hello, Ann and Pete.
Hello.
Hello, sweetie. Now,
you got my message
that you
on
put
Facebook
in...
the other day. there's a tree out there going, Christy, Christy.
There is.
You haven't done it yet.
No, I haven't. But I have done when I go out and get breakfast in the morning. I do eat in my car, but there's a place in the parking lot, and I did it Friday. I was parking in any parking space, and I said, oh, that's right. I need to go park by my tree. At least look at the tree and get the energy that way.
I'll buy you a seat that attaches to the tree so you can go sit by your tree.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it was a little warmer, I probably could go out there and sit by the tree and eat my breakfast. But right now, with it being winter, I don't think I can handle it.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. But, you know, you were talking about in the chat room about how when you go, is it your brother or your brother-in-law?
Brother.
That when he gave up, so okay, when he gave up soda, he lost a lot of weight. It's true. I gave up every kind of beverage except water. And I actually lost a lot of weight just doing that, just drinking just water. And I was shocked at how much soda I drank. And people think, oh, well, you know, you drink diet soda. Let me tell you something. Your body doesn't recognize that diet soda becomes like regular soda after a while, because
that's
it
right.
doesn't understand that it's diet soda. It starts
it
to
still
treat
recognizes
that
sugar.
That's right. It starts to treat the fake sugar like real sugar after a while. So if you're going to drink sugar, you might as well make it real sugar and enjoy it, because your body starts to treat it like that after a while. And the fake sugar gets stuck in your intestines, and it causes all kinds of body problems, because what it is poison, literally, rat poison to your body. So
yes.
You should do some research on
it. It's rat
on
poison, and it's ant poison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's spot on. It's like me, you know, I have to be very careful. I drink probably about 2 glasses a day, and I figure that's my limit. There's enough caffeine in it that my 3 liters of water that I drink a day make up for the caffeine content. I know it's poison. I admit that I, and me being who I am, I know better. And yes, you're dead to right. Your body assimilates it thinking it's sugar. So if you're one of these people that drink 3 2-liter bottles of diet soda a day and can't understand why you're losing weight, it's because you're stupid. There's no two ways about it. You are a you're an asshat. Find a nice balance. I always start off with water and lemon juice in the morning. I allow myself to have some soda when I'm doing a reading, or at dinner time, because you know, you just can't cut everything out. You've got to allow yourself to have a little bit of whatever. But a lot of times we just simply go down the street and we buy the sparkling mineral water. Always change it. Never keep buying the same one, because you'll start building up just one particular type of mineral content in your body because you're consistently doing that. Or I'll just use sparkling water, you know, like soda water. You've got to watch soda water because some of them have got a high salt content. You still need a high salt content in your body because, contrary to what doctors bloody tell you, you need a reasonable amount of salt. Salt, in actual fact, does clean out your arteries, strangely enough. It doesn't clog things. It doesn't affect blood pressure as bad as what they really do say. There are a lot more other factors that affect blood pressure. So you can afford to have... What I say to people is, you know how much salt you need, because it's like for me, I'm in tune with what goes on with my body. So some days I really need a lot of salt. Other days I won't. So it tells me, my body tells me when it needs something. You've got to listen to what it's saying. Except for when my body turns to me and goes, chocolate! And I go, shut up!
I noticed the other day with the soda, it had been probably about 24 hours or 36 hours I was drinking the iced tea instead. And then all of a sudden my body says, I want a Coca-Cola. And when I end up drinking it, it was like seventh heaven, because I'm definitely addicted to them. And it was like, oh, God, that tastes good. But if I drink one every day, that's satisfied. But I understand that the content of the sugar in it is so bad that I really do need to drink more water. I can't do the lemon, or I have problems with lemon sometimes, so I end up not putting the lemon in my water or my tea. I say you can keep that. I get upset.
Oh, that's fine. Try a little bit of cinnamon and ginger, or you know, what you look for is, you know, you can't do it because probably what happens is with lemon for you, instead of becoming an alkaline, it probably stays as an, which wouldn't work out. So you look for something else. Probably the most important thing really is to make sure that you have a reasonable amount of water first thing in the morning to start all your bodily functions starting off. The lemon juice is just to help cleanse the palate and it provides some minerals, And for a lot of people, it's usually a bit more of an acid regulator. You just find something else. Mm-hmm. Try a lime. Try an orange.
Mm.
You know, so
yeah.
Try something as it goes along, and you'll find which one suits you.
Sounds good.
You know what I suggest to people? It's like me and chocolate. I am a chocoholic. I will stick my hand up quite happily and go, you know, don't spill chocolate on yourself. I will come over there and eat you. So what I do is I keep a block of chocolate in the fridge. Am I going to touch it? No, I'll leave it there. Because a lot of the time it's your mindset. Oh, you just have to have it, and you're stopping yourself from having it. So therefore, it makes it worse. You're going to go down the street, you're going to go and buy a couple of blocks and eat your way right through the middle of them, and then go, oh, no, I'm not going to do that again. You'll be okay for that week, and you'll start craving and trying to stop yourself again, and you're going to repeat the cycle. So what I do is I keep a block of chocolate in the fridge. If I want it, it's there. So therefore, I can choose not to do it, or I can go and just take a square off,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I'm fine. You know, so I found my control method. My control method is to make sure I don't have to go looking for it. I already know it's there, so therefore it's not an issue. So it's the same with drink. I mean, I will tell you now, before, I would easily drink probably about 4 liters of diet drink a day before I realized I needed to start drinking water. So now I have a couple of glasses. If I'm doing a reading, I'll have a little bit, because it's become a mannerism. It's part of my thing. When I sit down and do a reading, I'll immediately do that. So it's become a behavioral habit. So if I start having readings, I won't have a drink at night time because I've already had it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll have it in, you know, I'll have it in the fridge. I'll have a couple of liters in the fridge. Not a problem. So if you need to have that much Coke, for starters, don't buy the little cans, because the little cans cost you 3 times as much as a normal, you know, as a thing. Just go and buy yourself a bottle. And the Walking with Spirit's got a wonderful idea. He says, a wonderful idea, a capful, not a whole bottle. So, you know, get yourself a little shot glass.
Mm-hmm.
Just have a Coke shooter. A Coke shooter would be like 2 teaspoons of sugar compared to a glass of Coke. If you take a normal 200 ml glass, so a 4 ounce glass, I think your normal glass is 6 ounces. 2 ounces of that glass is sugar.
Mhm.
So just get yourself a smaller glass and just go pop.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, Miss Christy, what can we do for you?
Well, I really had kind of a question, because earlier in the show, y'all were talking about the mediumship.
Yep.
And I don't know whether or not I'm actually dreaming or I'm starting to see people on the other side.
Are you sleeping or are you walking?
Well, really what it is it's right before I fall asleep. I'll see this picture of these strange people. Now, I had one guy that was like in a kitchen, and he moved real quickly from one part of the kitchen. I was like looking in the door, and then he moved real quickly. He was in extreme fear, like somebody else was in the room with him. And it's like, am I dreaming this, or is this something else?
He didn't expect you to see him. That'd be the tall, dark-haired male. He didn't expect you to see him.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like, oh, shit. Yeah. You remember the old cartoon? Beat, do your duty. Exit stays left. Yeah, run. Okay, it's fine. Your house is full of spirits. Well, I'm going to be really generalized here. As you start to fall asleep and your mind quiets, this is the way I keep saying to people, it's when your mind's absolutely completely busy that you're focusing on one point, the other parts of energy, which is when people see spirits, or when your mind starts to quieten down so much, all the outside interference that goes on in your brain, it shuts down, and you can see. And it's being a little generalized, but that's the reality. So as you're starting to fall asleep, all the busy part of your brain, all the busy functions are shutting down, and if you want to be technical, you're going from beta to theta sleep, or your alpha right waves are dying down or going up, or pick a wave. But the reality is, as your mind quietens, parts of your mind have become free and you'll see things.
Oh, okay.
It's like I see a grubby mechanic at the moment. What you lost? they're probably with Brandon in his room. What do you need? Hang on, sorry. Okay. I don't know. You might have to get him to go and wake him up, sneak into his room and get the keys. Okay, sorry about that, people. One of those calamities that happened. My son is chasing the power steering back. So that's why. So I'll give you the same exercise to give everybody. You want to see what's going on? Just sit still in your complete still. Just relax. Now, what normally happens is, for a lot of people, you'll see a movement out of the corner of your eye. When you see the movement out of the corner of your eye, ask a question. Male, female, height, weight, sex, don't say yes, please. Hair color, dress, pants. Just ask a question. The very first thing that comes in your mind is the answer. Everything else is a second guess. So you just keep doing that, and you'll start to improve on what you see and what you feel out of it. Communication. Remember, there is nothing on the spirit side of all this that can harm you, no matter what they all go on about. It's all bullshit. So you're perfectly safe, and you set the rules. Think of it like guests coming into your house. You set the rules. Don't leave the toilet seat up. Don't start throwing things around the room. Don't bother me when I'm trying to have a snooze. Set your rules.
Okay.
And
all right, honey. Well, I hope this helped you out.
Yes, it did. Thanks a lot.
Absolute pleasure.
All right, let's see. I think we got one more person on the line. Pat from New York.
Hello.
Pat, are you with us?
Hello? Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Sure,
we can.
What can we do for you, Pat?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes,
Pat.
What can we do for you?
Yes, are you there? Hello?
For the love of God, yes, we are.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, no, I can hear you now.
Okay.
What can we do for you, Pat?
Well, I'm trying to sell my house that I'm not living in, and I haven't had very much luck. I've tried selling it privately with a realtor and every which possible way, and it's definitely got spirits in the house, and I believe my realtor this past week just dropped me after only 3 weeks, and I think one of the spirit or spirits might have, like, had something to do with it. So I just want to know if there's any advice you can give me of how I can get rid of this house just to sell it.
Can I ask where the house is? What suburb?
New York. It's up.
Yes.
It's more like upstate, like Hudson Valley.
Okay, that's all right, yeah. That's okay. That's what I need to know. Because New York could be anywhere, you know, in relation to the city or the state.
Yeah, Hudson Valley.
I know you're in a hurry to sell it, but it will sell. I have no doubt about that. Because, yeah, even without doing the psychic stuff, people are always a bad house. They're always looking into it. So there's always going on. It will sell this year. It's going to sell somewhere. I'm not going to say it's going to take a while. It's probably going to sell closer towards the middle of the year than it is going to sell sooner. I actually hope I'm wrong there, but at the very least, at the very worst, it should be sold around June.
Okay.
Okay, at the worst, you know what I mean? It's going to sell. If I look ahead to June, I can see that it's off your hands and you're very happy, you're doing the happy dance. Do I see it happening before then? In different stages, yes. I see you're going to get an offer and then it's not going to be enough. And you're going to go out to take a hike and then you're going to get in about 6 weeks. The first thing's going to be like about, a month. 6 weeks from now, the next offer is going to be probably another 3 or 4 weeks after that, because the first offer was shit. It was just they were being disrespectful by doing it. They were hoping you were going to say yes, but you will sell sometime at the beginning of this year. You're going to sell the house. I have no doubt about that. I'm just not sure about where in the cycle.
Definitely good, yeah, because we. You know, because I've tried everything, and actually the last people I had an offer on, it happened within like a 2-week period, and then it just didn't happen because they didn't get approved or couldn't show the funds. And so but that's good. That'll definitely sell.
Yeah, so your best next chance is going to be about 8 weeks. Somewhere in that 8 weeks line, you're going to get another offer. So
okay,
it looks to me like somewhere between 4 to 6 weeks, you're going to keep getting a cycle of offers, and then it's whatever you want to do. But the very worst that's going to happen will be about June. So whatever free will is, you know, whatever you decide you want to do in relation to your offers, yes, the house is going to sell sometime at the beginning of this year, but no later than June of this year.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
No worries.
Pat, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
There's something dishonest going on. What is it that is, somebody's not telling the truth about something?
I don't know. Oh, maybe the realtor, because they just, we had the offer, and I thought we were going to close, and it didn't work out. And I was trying to talk with the realtor to adjust the price and the listing, and she never called me back. And she finally just emailed me and said she was dropping me without even contacting me, just through an email. You know,
okay, it's not the realtor.
And...
It's not the realtor. Is this your house? How did you get this house?
I bought it. Could it be the owner of the park? It's in a mobile home park. Maybe it's the owner of the park. I own the house, but I don't own the property.
Okay.
Yeah, we had
there's
that thing here with park
there's
owners.
Something,
yeah.
There's something going on. That's where the problem is. So
I was wondering if
that. Okay, let me talk because we only have a little bit of time. That's where you need to, because they're saying that there's something that has to come out of the closet. and you know, I don't mean come out of the closet as in come out of the closet, but there's some kind of skeleton that's in the closet. Once that comes out, everything's going to be okay. Do you understand what that means? And I have a gentleman here. Just listen to me, honey. I have a gentleman here. All right? This gentleman has a cane. You two did not get along. Matter of fact, you two could not stand each other. All right? Do you understand what that means? There's no lost love lost between you guys. This man has passed over.
Yeah.
All right? Okay. This man is saying that he is trying to help you from the other side despite what has happened.
Okay.
All right. Once you bring whatever it is that's in the closet out, there's good things that are going to happen.
Okay.
All right. I'm just bringing that to your attention. This is all I was brought for, you know, this is all that came forward for me to give to you.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay. That's all we got.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Absolute pleasure.
I'm sorry?
Absolute pleasure to help you, mate.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear. All right. Thank you very much.
No worries. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys. Got 1 minute left. Pete, parting words.
Be safe this week, people. Strange things are going on. That full moon that we had last week is screwing everybody around. And no, I'm not going to say Mercury in retrograde.
Yeah.
Enjoy the weird energy.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And hi,
Much
Linda. Bye, Linda.
Much love and much light to everyone. Linda, parting words?
Oh, she's asleep again.
Be happy. And unmute before you try to talk.
Oh, good.
All right, guys. Have a wonderful night. We'll talk to you all next week. Same bat time. Same bat channel.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a wonderful night. Okay. Take care.